Are we a nation of crybabies? Well, it turns out that British children are the biggest crybabies in the world. Our newborn babies cry more than pretty much any other babies around the world, apart from, Canada. Apparently, Japanese, German and Danish babies are among the quietest babies in the world. But along with us and Canadians, we've got some of the babies who cry the most. Why is this? Well, we're not 100% sure, but basically, at around 6 weeks old, crying peaks at around 2 hours 15 minutes on average around the world. That goes down to 1 hour and 10 minutes by week 12. That's the end of the colic. We all remember that, don't we? Some babies, though, cry for as little as 30 minutes a day. Others for more than 4 hours a day. But why, in some countries, do babies cry more, and in other countries, babies cry less? Well, let's talk to Amanda Gummer, who's a psychologist from Fundamentally Children. Amanda, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
This is a fascinating study, isn't it? I think we all just assume, well, all babies are different, it completely depends, but the idea that there is a difference between nationalities suggests something else is afoot, doesn't it?
It does. I haven't seen the research in depth, so when there's sort of big claims made like that, I would always question the methodology. But I think it's always interesting to see how parenting styles differ between cultures and the effect that that does have on children. I mean, if you have the extreme example, if you look, social workers will tell you horrible stories about children who are terribly neglected, who don't cry because they know that nobody's coming.
Yes, because crying serves a purpose. It's a way of attracting attention. And if mum and dad never come for hours on end, there's simply no point doing it.
Exactly. So there's the involuntary crying that the babies have no control over, so the colicky, you know, I'm in pain. But actually, the attention-seeking or the attention-grabbing cry is also one of the earliest forms of communication that babies develop. So they know that if they cry, their parents come. Therefore, when they want their parents to come, they cry. It's a learned response. It doesn't happen in the very early days, but they learn it very quickly. And it's a communication tool for them.
Well, this is the thing. I had my little one 10 years ago at a time when Gina Ford was all the rage, and I had a number of friends who gave me, you must try this book. And basically it's this controlled crying method, and this whole idea that you're, and I did read the book, laughed out loud, put it away, handed it back to friends, said thanks ever so much, I'll work out my own parenting, thank you very much. But basically the idea was you leave your child to cry and you get them into a routine straight away. Now, to me, that was always based on the idea that I'm going to have a child and it's not going to change my life. And I was always of the view that one of the key things about being a new mum, it's not even as much as new dad, but a new mum, is actually, and it's sort of giving in to the fact that someone else's needs now matter more than yours, and being in tune to those needs. And so for that's why a mum, for instance, can tell, and a dad who's closely involved in the parenting, you can tell if that is a cry, which is, I'm a bit irritated, you put me down to sleep, and or it's a, I'm really hungry, or I've hurt myself, or I'm in pain. And you do get attuned to those cries. And as you say, it is a form of communication. And even if that cry is, I'd like a cuddle, babies, the need for a baby to be cuddled is just as important as its need for milk or for food or for sleep, isn't it? It's a human need, and it's our job as parents to fulfill those needs.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned the kind of the different types of cry as well. And all the parenting books in the world, one of the biggest worries I have about them, and I have a book out myself, but one of the biggest concerns I have is that it disempowers parents because it stops them listening to their own instincts. And actually, when you're relaxed, when you're feeling good about yourself, and you're not frazzled, you're not sort of overly anxious, reading every book in the world, taking every piece of advice and trying to be the perfect mother, when you allow yourself to relax and sort of enjoy the parenting, you are much more in tune with your children and you're able to respond appropriately to their signals. So you know whether to rush and crack and respond quickly to a pain cry, or you know whether it's a kind of a grumble because I'm a bit bored cry. And you can respond appropriately. And I think one of the biggest worries for me with parents who are too anxious and too frazzled, for want of a better word, is that they either totally under-respond, so you get children who are crying because they genuinely need something and they are in pain, and parents underreact because they're just too frazzled themselves to cope with anything else. Or they go the other way. way, and they actually overreact as well. So every little whimper gets passed upon, and that doesn't help either, because what that does is teach the child, if they are using it for communication, that that's the way to get exactly what you want whenever you want, and your needs matter more than everybody else, which is one of the issues with, you know, modern families and parenting today.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more, Amanda, on that. I have to say, trusting the instincts. I remember, actually, when I was trying to sort of get my daughter, I was breastfeeding her to sleep, everyone said, oh, it's been a disaster, and trying to get her to sleep on her own, and I think it was, I don't know, 3-4 months, and she was sleeping. She was sleeping 12 hours a night. I have to say, I was perfectly happy. But she, I put her down to sleep in a cot for the first time, and I think 4 hours later, she was still crying. I, of course, had been in a state from roughly 20 minutes in. We kept going in, we left it longer. We did everything that, again, the books all told us to do, and eventually I remember calling my mum and said, I don't know what to do, and she went, oh, for goodness sake, go and pick her up and cuddle her, don't just do it, try again in a couple of weeks when you feel happier about it. And as it was, we tried it again a month later, absolutely fine, 20 minutes crying, fast asleep, no, never looked back. But I was genuinely distraught. It went against every instinct, and I'm a very no-nonsense mum. I'm not a mollycoddler, I don't helicopter parent, but it was just seems to me she wasn't ready, and I wasn't ready, and I was just, and I had always until that point gone with my instincts, and I went with, that was the only day I didn't go with my instincts, and she cried, she was miserable, I was miserable, everyone was miserable. What was the point?
Absolutely. And I think that is the one message I wish parents, all parents today, would just trust their instincts. And it's not, it's about looking after yourself and making sure you're in a good place to react properly, but then just trust your gut.
Yeah, also,
it's so important.
Also, I remember saying to my midwife, I'm so lucky, I've got such a happy baby. And she said, well, people seem to think that mums are happy because they've got happy, easy babies. It's generally the other way around. She said, if you're happy, and of course, I was just delighted to be a mum, I'd wanted to be a mum for about 20 years, that actually, she said, you know, your children feel that, and then they relax. Absolute pleasure to speak to you. What's your book called, by the way, Amanda?
Oh, it's called Play, Fun Ways to Help Your Child Develop in the First 5 Years.
Wonderful. That's Dr. Amanda Gummer. She's a psychologist from Fundamentally Children. New book out, Play. Sounds fabulous. Absolutely take that advice from that expert. Thank you very much indeed. Well,